Now, the only independent news talk network in the Middle East, Israel National Radio and IsraelNationalRadio.com present The Tamar Yonah Show. Here's Tamar Yonah.
Well, what are the secrets that the Vatican is hiding? I'm Tamar Yonah. Welcome, everyone, to the show. A lot of news going on here in the land of Israel, and it's going to be also an exciting show today because we have joining us Mr. Barry Hamish, investigative reporter. I'm going to let you go to his website while I'm giving you some intro to the show today because, again, so much is going on. Go to www.barrychamish.com. That's C-H-A-M-I-S-H. And check that out while we're talking to you. I want to tell you that the Tamar Yonah Show is syndicated in www.kolhalev.com. That's a Jewish Israeli radio station down in southern Florida. So hi there to all of our listeners in southern Florida here from the resettlement of Beit El. We are back here after 2,000 years. As well, I'd like to invite you all to join us in the virtual studio. This is a chat room. It's a safe chat room. There are people here monitoring the room to make sure everybody stays nice and no big arguments break out and no evil things take place. It's a very safe place to be. Download our program for that. You only have to do it once and you don't have to restart your computer. And then forever and ever and ever, you can come to our live shows and you can listen to our shows with people from all over the world. Right now we have in from Washington, D.C., from Winnipeg, from Belfast, hi there, and from Indiana, from Missouri, from Alabama, from Ohio, from Kew Garden Hills, from all over. Welcome to the show, everybody. And again, go to our webpage at IsraelNationalRadio.com. Go to the upper left-hand corner where it says Virtual Studio. Click there and join us. It'll be a lot of fun. This show is broadcasting live if it's between 7 and 8 a.m. Israel Holy Time, or if it's between midnight and 1 a.m. Eastern Daylight Time for all you guys there in New York, because nothing exists outside of New York. Is that correct? And this is from a California girl yet. All right. And so a lot of things going on. First, I'd like to dedicate this show to a hero of Israel, a new hero, and his name is David Markovich, or in English you would say David Markowitz, because he single-handedly mowed down some horrible murderers who call themselves Arab terrorists to come in and try to kidnap an Israeli soldier yesterday and came into the borders of Israel with tractoronim, as they say, like those, you know, bikes that go over mountains and hills, and motorcycles, all sorts of things. They infiltrated into the northern border here in Israel. A lot of stuff going on in the northern border. And he mowed them down. He eliminated these terrorists. So good for you. You saved a lot of people. Here's Ernie Singer with, I just bringing Ernie on the show just for a minute right now before we go to Barry Hamish, just because there's been so much news here in Israel. I gotta inform you all about what's going on. Ernie, welcome to the show. What's going on here at the State of Israel?
Good morning, Tamar. Well, lots going on. Even if before Hezbollah started, the week getting off to a fine political start, as the perhaps you could even go back to last week with the election of Amir Peretz to lead the Labor Party, and immediately pulled the labor ministers out of the cabinet. Officially, it took place last week, but I think that got the ball rolling. Prime Minister Ariel Sharon deciding that he was going to leave the Likud party and form his own party. After negotiations all night long, they've decided to name the party Kadima, which is Hebrew for forward. And
what happened to the National Responsibility or whatever?
Well, that was an interim name. It wasn't supposed to be a full-time name. He said that's what we're going to call ourselves to begin with until we have a good name. And they were up all night.
Because that was a pretty lousy name, by the way. Because now they have a good name, Kadima.
National Irresponsibility.
All right.
Anyway, so Sharon has drafted 15 members of the Likud to his new party, and it is speculated that Chaim Ramon of the Labor Party will also join this group. In any case, the 15 members of the Likud qualify Kadima as a break-off party, and they will take some of the funding that the state has given the Likud, which will help them in the election campaign. Elections stand to be taking place at the end of March. And there had been talk about Shimon Peres joining this new party, but he said that he left the party with David Ben-Gurion long, long ago, and one party leaving is enough. He's staying with Labor. Dalia Itzik, who is rumored to be going to the new party, also staying with Labor. Meanwhile, up north, things are going on.
There's a war up north.
Yes.
People had to sleep in bomb shelters last night. The residents were called out of their homes to sleep in bomb shelters.
But as the day begins, children going back to school as normal. So it's a tense calm, as they call it up there. The gunfire continues between Israel and Hezbollah. There's a village on the border called Rajar, literally on the border. Part of it's Israel, part of it's Lebanon. And that is perhaps seen by Hezbollah as a weak link in the border. It's certainly been given a bad name for smuggling of various sorts, and they thought that that's a place where they could hit and try to capture or kidnap soldiers. And according to one report, during the course of the attacks yesterday, basically they were launching everything in sight into Israel, not only at military positions, but also into communities such as the kibbutz of Sneer, Mitudela, which was famous for its friendship fence, and Kiryat Shmona as a cover-up to the kidnapping attempts. But still, the soldiers and Mr. Markovich alert and taking care of the terrorists in the various locations. But the western Galilee town of Shlomi was also hit by airborne missiles last night, so the entire Lebanese-Israeli border seen as a front right now.
They say it's on fire. That's what all the newscasts are saying this morning as I woke up and driving to work. These people, civilians were hit with Katyusha rockets, which can take down buildings. They were hit with anti-tank missiles. They were hit by regular machine gun fire. This was a war up there.
That's
and,
right.
And we don't feel it down here, but the northern border was really attacked last night. And thanks to David Markovich, who I'm going to dedicate the show to. You saved a lot of people and saved a lot of soldiers. Thanks so much, Ernie. Thank you for being with us.
You're welcome, Tamar.
All right. And with no further ado, let's get to the topic of the day, which is the appetite of the Vatican for the holy city of Jerusalem. Joining us now on the show, www.barrychamish.com, we have the investigative reporter, Barry Chamish. Welcome, Barry.
Hi.
And Barry, let me just say, I know you love it when I say this, Barry, but I'm going to say here that the views and opinions expressed in this interview are not necessarily those of Israel National Radio or Arut Sheva.
Someday you'll say they are.
Now you're supposed to say, Tamar, do you feel better?
That's usually after.
All right, so Barry.
You're striking first this time around.
Barry. Yeah. All right, so Barry, so we are sitting here today in Israel. We think we're supposed to get more peace. This is a painful thing. We just gave up Gush Katif, and now we're already hearing rumors about places in the holy city of Jerusalem, places that have holy significance to us, graves of our kings, etc., are to be secret deals going on with the Vatican. Tell us what we don't know.
Well, let's go back in time. More than 10 years ago, I had a little newsletter. It was called Inside Israel, and I co-wrote it with Joel Bainerman, and we found out, it wasn't all that hard, so we just read the newspaper, I believe it was Shishi, that Shimon Peres in May of 1993 had sent a French intellectual by the name of Monique Halter to the Vatican with a letter. And in that letter, Peres proposed that the Vatican take over the holy sites of Jerusalem. Now, Halter opened his mouth first, but then it was all confirmed in an Italian magazine called La Stampa. And they expanded on the whole deal that Peres offered. It wasn't just the holy sites. Jerusalem was going to be turned over to the United Nations, East Jerusalem, from the old city all the way to Atarot. The United Nations were going to be the policemen of this new entity. Atarot was going to become the world's only complete duty-free shop. You could fly there for anywhere in the world without a passport. It would be the only passportless airport in the world. And within this Vatican enclave, where the Vatican take over the holy sites, the PLO is to be granted a state.
Okay, this is really wild what you're saying, because Atta Road is not too far from where I live, and I see the planes flying over my house all the time, landing at the airport in Atta Road. Now, who made this deal? Why was this deal made, and why Israel? It could have been anywhere that had beaches and sun, and yet they pick this area.
We're talking about the Vatican and holy places. We're really not talking about the Riviera and a good tan. Let's put this in perspective. The Vatican wants the Vatican wants Jerusalem. Now, let's go backwards a teeny little bit. The Oslo Accords, Paris had nothing, but nothing to do with them. Nothing. This was actually told to me by two people, but one in particular is Ron Pundak, one of the two negotiators of the Oslo Accord. Me and Joel sat with him one day in Tel Aviv, and he thought we were real sympathetic to him, and he was bragging. And of the many things he told us, and some of them are coming true to this day, is that Shimon Peres was not told about the Oslo negotiations. Rabin and Balin were afraid he would sabotage them, which of course he would have. So two Peres advocates, Yossi Balin and Uri Sevier, behind Peres' back, hid it from him. And Peres didn't discover anything about the negotiations until April of 1993. And when he discovered them, at first he didn't take them seriously. Then when he found out that they were serious, and they had the thorough backing of the Council on Foreign Relations in New York through Warren Christopher, the Secretary of State, he wanted a piece of the action. Now, since he couldn't get the action from the CFR side, he opened
the Council on Foreign Relations.
Right.
Which he opened the. Is what? Just explain to people what the CFR is.
It's a think tank in New York that runs all American diplomacy. So since he couldn't get in on the action, he brought the Vatican in. He brought the Europeans in. This was his way, well, first of all, of getting even, number one. But number two, don't, when I say the next sentence, don't mock it so quickly. There's, I've been doing this research for over 10 years. Peres has been an absolute spy for the Vatican, at least since the late 1940s. He's been doing the Vatican's dirty work for half a century.
And how did this happen?
Rabin claims that Peres was educated in Poland by the Jesuits, and he went to Jesuit elementary school and had no Jewish education. How it happened probably goes back right to his youth.
Okay, so you're saying that Shimon Peres, who comes from Poland, I think,
yeah,
went to a Jesuit school when he was younger.
Well, Rabin said that.
Okay, this is what you're saying that Rabin said. Okay, and so
yeah,
this may be the roots of why he's involved.
Yeah,
with the Vatican.
But again, we do know without a doubt that he offered the Vatican Jerusalem, and I'll carry on with the proofs. Now, so far we have Shishi and their interview with Myra Coulter, and we have La Stampa, which added a very important point to the article. 3 days before the signing of the Declaration of Principles in Washington, September 23rd, 1993, Arafat approved this Vatican deal, where he would get his state in a Vatican UN enclave. And this all came from La Stampa. Now, we jump ahead just a little bit to the next year. It's now late February, 1995. And Rucheva, what am I going to say? This is a coup for Rucheva. Rucheva, in the good old days, when it had a radio station broadcast to over 100,000 people, and as well, of course, as its internet news, was given a cable, was leaked a cable from the Rome embassy to the foreign ministry in Jerusalem. And I'll tell you, I know who did the leaking, because he leaked me stuff. And someday we will give him a prize. More than a few of us actually know who he is. But he was in a position to intercept cables. We'll leave it at that.
Okay.
The cable described the handing over of the old city of Jerusalem to the Holy See.
Mm-hmm.
And Ruth Sheva...
And this was in 1993?
Five.
1995.
That was exposed.
Okay.
This was late February 1995. Ruth Sheva was the first to print this cable up. And it caused a real big stir. And the next day, Friday, Haaretz put the cable on his front page. And of course, we realize that the Friday paper, front page of the Friday paper, is extremely serious. So, we now have the cable actually describing the foreign ministry's attempt. And remember, Paris was foreign minister. The foreign ministry's promise to the Vatican to hand over the
old city to the Vatican.
Well, the holy site. I mean, it means the old city. The holy sites.
Okay.
That was the wording anyway.
Who was supposed to get Har HaBayit, the Temple Mount?
Oh, yeah. That's a holy site.
Well, who was supposed to get that?
The
Muslims or the Catholics?
No, the Vatican.
The Vatican.
It's a holy site.
Well, what was going to be? They thought that the Muslims would go along with that?
Arafat agreed to that. Arafat agreed.
Arafat was going to let the mosque be in a...
Arafat agreed in exchange for a Palestinian state with its capital in Jerusalem.
Uh-huh.
He agreed to it.
And his capital is supposed to be in East Jerusalem, you're saying?
Yeah.
The eastern part, I should say.
Yeah. Later on, we'll go to that. We'll talk about Abu Dis and the Abu Dis agreement where they were going to put the capital in Abu Dis, and there was going to be a bridge from Abu Dis to the Al-Aqsa Mosque. We'll go into the details a little later.
Okay, if you've just tuned in, we're speaking with investigative reporter Barry Chamish, www.barrychamish.com. He's the author of many books, one of his most famous and bestsellers, Who Murdered Yitzhak Rabin, The Last Days of Israel, Save Israel, and his latest book, Shabtai Tzvi, Labor Zionism and the Holocaust. You can get on his email list if you go to his website and sign up for that. And he's here telling us about how Jerusalem may have been signed away in a secret deal with the Vatican, saying that Jerusalem will become an international city, many of our holy sites will go to the Vatican, and the Jews are going to lose it all. Let's hear more, Barry.
I don't think it's a May when you've already got Shishi, L'Estampa, Ruth Sheva, and Haaretz all confirming the deal.
Okay, so
we're beyond May right now.
Okay, so a cable is caught saying that there's an agreement to give away this stuff to the Vatican.
Well, this stuff is every holy site in East Jerusalem.
Okay.
Okay, now, this is just before Passover, Pesach, 1995, and every year the rabbis and admorim of Israel invite Paris to their tables. He's been doing this also for half a century, politicking, whatever, but every year he does it. Passover, he goes to the tables of the biggest rabbis. Now, that year in 95, they all canceled him. I mean, why shouldn't they? He's giving Jerusalem to the Vatican. It's a pretty good reason to cancel him, no? So they all cancel him. So Paris has got to issue an explanation for this cable that appeared on the front page of Haaretz. And his explanation was that, yes, the cable was authentic, but someone had whited out the word not. And in fact, the cable...
I remember that.
Yeah. Well, it happened. Okay. This was a very
news, yeah.
public thing. And in fact, the cable read that we will not be handing over the holy sites of Jerusalem to the Holy See. Now, that's a real urgent cable, right? I mean, you got to send that thing real fast. But unfortunately, and this shows the political sophistication of our rabbis, they bought it. And they re-invited him to the table. And this unfortunately means that the deal still exists, and no one has objected to it for the last 12 years. Mm-hmm. Now, of course, we're getting it. The Vatican want their piece of Mount Zion, and they're just this is just stage one, of
now,
course.
According to your research, did Yitzhak Rabin, when he was prime minister, know about this deal, the secret deal?
Well, he had to have, because the PLO signed 3 days before in Washington. They agreed to it.
So you're saying that the president of the United States, Clinton, knew
I suppose you're leading to the obvious, which is that the Vatican agreement. Now look at the dates. Look at the dates between the signing of the Declaration of Principles, September 23rd, and the signing of the Vatican agreement, where they recognize Israel. And this, of course, was negotiated by Yossi Beilin. We'll get into that, too. They're 2 days apart. Oslo and the Vatican agreement went hand in hand. They're coordinated agreements. Everything that goes on with this roadmap, which is just another name for Oslo, has been coordinated with the Vatican. Everything. Okay, let's not fool with ourselves. They're the same agreement.
All right.
Now, what I've done in my books, especially Save Israel, the new book, Shabtai Tzvi, Labor Zionism and the Holocaust, I've followed the negotiations that have gone on under the table. And let's just say that the chief negotiator for the Vatican is King Juan Carlos of Spain. He does the negotiations. Nothing gets done in the Middle East before going to him. Nothing.
Before going to the King of Spain?
Nothing. He is
and that's the, because?
He has been appointed. Well, there's a couple of reasons. Number one, just accept this. The man has a title, and in Europe, apparently, this title is for real. He is the Holy Guard, no, the Royal Guardian of the Holy Sites of Jerusalem. He actually has an ancient title from the Crusades. And in Europe, they mean business. He is the man responsible for Jerusalem. And we won't go through his education. He was, again, educated by the Jesuits in Rome itself, and then he was shipped to Spain.
Is King Juan Carlos a Catholic?
Yes.
Right.
Look, everything that goes on in the countries of Italy, Spain, and France, and by the way, probably southern Germany as well, but those three countries are being done for the Vatican.
All right, let me just stop you right there because we have to take a break from the news. We're speaking with investigative reporter and author Barry Chamish, www.barrychamish.com. I'm going to invite you to call in with your questions. This is the last half hour of the show. It moves fast. 1-800-270-4288. It's a free phone call. As well, you can join us in the virtual studio, and you can ask questions from there as well on the microphone for free. Everything for free. We'll be right back.
Rabbi, the Jews are a screaming bunch of people. After thousands of years of waiting and holding on and fighting, we finally made it.
You're listening to IsraelNationalRadio.com. We're your connection to Israel.
If you will it, it is no dream. Theodore Herzl, State of Israel. If you will it, dude, it is no dream.
Israel National Radio, broadcasting live from the State of Israel on IsraelNationalRadio.com.
Discover the land of Israel.
What's there to discover?
In the Ha'elah Valley, David killed Goliath, his cousin.
You're kidding.
Do you know the meaning of the name Shimshon from Beit Shemesh?
I have no clue.
On Mount Carmel, Eliyahu ran the first marathon.
Unbelievable.
There's so much to discover in Yossi Maimon's book, Discover the Land of Israel. www.discoverisrael.org.
Now, the only independent news talk network in the Middle East, Israel National Radio and IsraelNationalRadio.com present the Tamar Yona Show. Here's Tamar Yona.
Well, we are with the investigative reporter, Barry Chamish, www.barrychamish.com. He's the author of the best-selling book that was translated into maybe, like, I don't know, seven languages, Who Murdered Yitzhak Rabin? Other books he's written, The Last Days of Israel, Save Israel, and his latest book out, Shabtai Tzvi, Labor Zionism, and the Holocaust. You can get those all through barrychamish.com, or you can write Barry, which he'll give out.
You better write. The website's not selling books.
Okay, so what
Chamish, Chamish, at NetVision, NetVision.net, net.il. Chamish at netvision.net.il will get you books.
All right, and this is a time of the show where you can call in if you have any comments or questions for Barry Chamish. Our toll-free number is from the U.S. and Canada, 1-800-270-4288. From Israel, 1-800-270-4288. From England and Australia, we also have numbers. And from elsewhere in the world, you can call us if we don't have your toll-free number for you, and we will call you back. As well, you can join us in the virtual studio and ask your questions for there. We give you service, free phone calls, so you can speak to the people who know it all. Barry Chamish says he knows it all. He knows what's going on, and that there has been secret agreements made with the Vatican that Jerusalem has been promised to them. Jerusalem will be made an international city. As well, Jerusalem's holy sites will be given to the Vatican to rule over. This is horrible news. Barry, you're saying that you have this information from...
Oh my!
just real briefly, so everyone knows.
My sources so far that we've mentioned so far, they are Haaretz, La Stampa,
newspapers.
Yes, okay. Big ones. Arut Sheva, the defunct newspaper Shishi. This is really quite public. And what's frustrating to me is I've been reporting the Vatican shenanigans for so long. And when it finally comes to the fore, just proper credit isn't given. I warned and warned that they're not kidding, that this Oslo and this Vatican Accord go hand in hand. Now, I'm going to give you another connection. Now, Yossi Beilin is a coward. What he does when he does something illegal is that he claims that other people did it on their own, and they turn to him. In the case of the Oslo Accords, he claimed that Ron Pundak and Yair Hirschfeld secretly met the PLO in London, and he, just by a huge coincidence, was in the lobby of the hotel as they left the room. Okay, that was his excuse for Oslo, so he wouldn't go to prison. With the Vatican, he has another tremendously coincidental excuse. His chief pakid and lover, Shlomo Gur, knew a bishop in Texas named Bishop Jager. Bishop Jager is dreadfully anti-Israel. And again, you'll find his quotes in my books, the latest one, Save Israel, where I've traced this stuff. Now, Bishop Jager was now going to be the intermediary between Israel and the Vatican, and Beilin just happened to have been in the right spot at the right time to coordinate both the Oslo Accord and the Vatican Accord, and they were signed within 48 hours of each other. They're the same accord. Okay, now understand this, that the ultimate goal, which I've been, again, for the last 10, 12 years, the ultimate goal is to replace certainly Israel. Israel goes, but it's a stage-by-stage process where the first thing is you have to bring in foreign troops. Now, in order to bring in foreign, and they're doing that now too, by the way, and it's all coming down now. It's all coming down. The Gush Katif Pinui was the ideal excuse to bring the EU into the Philadelphia road.
The EU meaning the European soldiers, European Union soldiers.
Yeah.
Okay.
Now, as that is happening, we of course have to turn to the Jerusalem front, where the deal is the Vatican gets the holy sites. Now, why would President Katsav, okay, why would that dumbbell fly to Rome to negotiate a room on Mount Zion? Okay, who gives them the authority to sell a piece of Jerusalem?
Yeah, who does?
Okay, apparently our government does because they sent him.
Hmm.
Okay. Apparently, as a diplomatic gesture.
But usually, isn't it like the politicians that sign these type of land deals rather than the president's decoration?
As we said, it was Paris who already signed. Okay, and we're going to go to stage two in 1 second. Who already signed a promissory letter to the Vatican, which was agreed to by the PLO, that the Vatican would take over the holy sites of the United Nations, would police the city. Now, we go to the next agreement.
Wait, so we would see Vatican soldiers in the old city.
You'll see
those
EU soldiers
up in those funny
and UN
costumes.
Soldiers.
And UN soldiers.
And NATO soldiers.
Horrible, 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 horrible. You're giving me nightmares. Barry, we have a lot of callers. You want to finish up and we'll go to...
All right, I'll do this very, very quickly. The second stage occurred 11 days before the Rabin assassination. It was signed in Paris, France, by Paris and Balin, Mitterrand and Chirac, Abu Allah, Abu Mazen, all the direct from the PLO. They all signed something called the Abu Dis Agreement. Now, in that agreement, the Vatican gets... It's the same thing. The Vatican gets all these sites. Foreign armies take over the policing of Jerusalem. This time, Abu Dis, across the wall, becomes the PLO capital, and there's a bridge linking them to the Temple Mount. And everybody signed that 11 days before the Rabin assassination. And it was, I assure you, one of the primary reasons why the French cooperated with Paris in the assassination of Rabin.
Oh, so you're saying the French cooperated with... The French had something to do with Rabin's assassination?
I thought
that was Paris...
Is this new? I've been saying this...
You said Paris has a little cell inside of the Shabak that works for him and that they arranged this whole thing.
No! Paris has a hit squad, okay? If anyone gets in his way, God save them. But no, Paris works for the Europeans.
So what did the French have to do with Rabin?
The French are a Catholic nation, closely tied to the Vatican and Shimon Peres.
Yeah, but where was their hand in this specific assassination?
Oh, Carmi Gillon flew to Paris on the night of the assassination to coordinate the killing with French Secret Service. Jean Friedman, the French telecommunications billionaire, funneled money to pay for the rally where Rabin was murdered. The Abu Dis agreement was signed in France 11 days before the murder.
All right, where's my ulcer medicine? Let's go to some callers.
Wait,
you make me depressed when I talk with you. You always make me depressed. Let's go to our virtual studio. We have joining us from Missouri, we have Penny. Penny, welcome to the show. What's your comment or question for Barry Hamish? Penny from Missouri.
Yeah, you know, I'm just in one of those moods, you know. I need to tell the Pope, don't make me come over there now. But, I mean, if this is such a conspiracy, that's what it sounds like to me, a big cover-up. Why was this not in the news?
It was. It was front page
years
in the
ago
news.
When all this went on. Sounds to me like...
It was,
I mean,
front page news.
I hate to be a party pooper, but, you know,
Madam, it was
did
front
not Hashem tell
there
the Jews to destroy their enemies? You know, if your leaders are putting that kind of stuff behind your back, I mean, I believe you need to take them out.
Oh, okay.
Penny, number one, it was certainly in the news. And this is what's so frustrating. When I give lectures on this subject, I said, people, you know about this. It was front page of Haaretz. It was in the news. But people just don't, Jews don't want to believe. There's something intrinsic in the Jewish mentality that doesn't want to believe.
Let me just give a really quick example. I'm reading a book now called Go, My Son. Excellent book. And in there was a German who went to a Jewish family because he was friends with them in Poland. And he said, get out because Hitler is coming up. You know what he does to the Jews. You've seen the papers. Get out of Poland now while you can. And she said, Mr. Hoffman, really, I can understand if this was the Cossacks who were doing things like this. But the German people... who are the most educated and cultured in the world, they could never do a thing like this. This is just what's written in the papers. Denial, denial, denial. Let's go now to Dak. I think Dak is from New Jersey. Welcome to the show, Dak. What's your comment or question for Barry Hamisch? And again, this is from our virtual studio.
Yeah, I wanted to ask Barry if he could expand a little bit on some of the artifacts that are known to be stored in the Vatican's basement areas, the underground labyrinth, et cetera, et cetera. Thanks, Tamara.
Oh, great question.
Okay, here. Now this was what Yossi Bellin claimed we got out of the Vatican. Okay, it's an interesting question. That, all right, this requires a bit of an explanation. Number one, the Vatican supposedly, in the agreement to Bellin, agreed to release the most treasured artifacts in return for signing an agreement, diplomatic relations agreement with Israel. But it was a lie, of course. Of course it was a lie. But that's what Bellin told the Israelis, so they would think they got something out of the deal. But I want to add something else. Very shortly afterwards, the PLO, as soon as they got to Jerusalem, started digging like crazy under the Temple Mount, digging to the point that the walls are going to fall down. And they have been looking for whatever historical documentation, artifacts, whatever they can get out of the Temple Mount to blackmail the Vatican. Now, I want to mention a name that's so important. He is now our new papal knight, Rabbi David Rosen. Rosen was going to be the first ambassador to the Vatican.
Where do you have that information from?
Oh, Tamar.
I need you to...
Every newspaper in Israel. I mean, really, this isn't secret stuff.
Okay, I read the papers. I don't remember reading that. So, it was in the papers.
Okay, this wasn't hidden. When the Vatican agreement came out, the Vatican turned him down for some reason. Not properly explained. But nonetheless, this Rosen is a total fraud. Now, I traced him, and I may reprint it today or tomorrow. All his degrees and accomplishments, they're all fakes. He went to South Africa, got himself a little pulpit on fakery. That led somehow to Ireland, where he became the chief rabbi of Ireland and the head of the B'nai B'rith there. He is so tied up with Paris, and Melchior. These are Paris' rabbis. And the Vatican, what was it, last week? Named the first Jewish papal knight, Rabbi David Rosen. And he is so involved in the sale of the Old City of Jerusalem and all these deals. And he's in the midst of it. And as papal knight, believe it or not, he can now negotiate directly with the Vatican from a position of power. There are some extremely odd things going on, but the Vatican is going to get the Old City of Jerusalem. The same way that as I wrote years ago, that EU troops are going to come in this second. The first pullouts take place from Judea and Samaria. The Israeli army will be replaced by foreign troops, which is precisely what's happening now.
All right, Barry, let me just ask you, and then we're going to go back to the virtual studio. We have more callers. What kind of pressure can the Vatican put on us in order to push this deal through? We saw that they tried to get Har Zion, Mount Zion. There was a big ruckus here in Israel about it. It was postponed, apparently. But you know, how far can they push us, and how will they push us?
Number one, you don't fool with the Vatican. When you start looking at the Holocaust and their responsibility, and to me, more important, the smuggling of every major Nazi to South America, Australia, Canada, they all went through the Vatican rat lines. Okay? We're talking about the organization that kept Nazism alive worldwide. Okay, so don't underestimate the kind of damage they could do to Jews. They're very, very dangerous.
What? Give me an example. What can they do to us?
The Holocaust isn't a good enough example. Without the Vatican sanction, it could not have taken place. What do you mean, what can they do to us? They can destroy us.
Well, the Vatican has an arsenal in its...
The Vatican doesn't have an arsenal. Europe has the arsenal. Now we have to go in. All right, look, Tamar, let's do it easily.
There are two
power bases in the world. Okay? Hello?
Yeah, I'm listening.
There is the Anglo-Saxon power base that runs from London, Washington, New York, that triangle. They're now just raping Iraq and Afghanistan and cooking up the Middle East into utter turmoil. Then there's the European branch, which runs, let's say, Vatican, Spain, Germany, France. Call it Catholic Europe. Their diplomatic headquarters is called the Bilderberg Group. These two groups have agreed that Israel's got to go. Now, they're fighting over who gets what. The Vatican wants Jerusalem. Okay, the CFR want Israel gone. In fact, they want nations gone in the Middle East. And this is what Ron Pundak told me and Joel at that meeting, that Balin and his bosses don't believe in borders.
Well, they've already said that. They said we want to...
They sure did say it.
Yeah.
You've got to start believing them.
Yeah.
They want the Middle East to be one giant block, and the Vatican wants a world religion with them in charge and the headquarters in Jerusalem. And believe it or not, as wacky as these plans sound, they're doing it. They're doing it to us. They're doing it to the Middle East. They're actually doing it. So nothing is fantastic anymore.
All right, let's go now back to the virtual studio. We have from Washington, D.C., we have Tom joining us. Tom, welcome to the show. What is your comment or question for Barry Hamish? Tom from Washington.
Yes, Barry?
Yeah.
Will the neocons and Israel be made the scapegoats when switching U.S. horses to the Democrats and Hillary Clinton as president in 2008? And how will this make a difference for Israel in 2006 and 2008 and thereafter? And do you see any parallels to what is now going on in Israel with Ariel Sharon? If so, then how?
I'm not sure I followed the whole thing, but this much is for certain. The neocons are Israel's worst enemy. They're the roadmap. They gave us the joy of the Gush Katif sellouts. So here's hoping they get all the blame in the world. The neocons, if you're not aware, are entirely of the Council on Foreign Relations. There is not a member who isn't. And amongst this group that have utterly destroyed us is the head of the CFR, Richard Haass, James Wolfenson, Paul Wolfowitz, Daniel Pipes, the whole gang of them directly responsible for the Gaza pullout. And here's hoping they fall. Now, as for Israel and blame and Hillary Clinton, Bill Clinton is CFR. They're all in on it. They all belong to the same club. I don't see any changes. I don't see any... look, it doesn't matter who you vote for in the States. You're going to get the CFR. And it's that simple. There are elections coming up in Israel. I'm not going to vote. Why should I vote? I'm going to get the same result no matter who I vote for.
You can vote for Igor or Igor. Let's go now to Belfast. All the way from Belfast, we have Sam joining us. Sam, welcome to the show. Just start talking and tell us, what is your question or comment for Barry Hamish?
Hello?
Yes, we hear you.
I hope you can hear me.
Yes, we can.
Barry, in your book, Sea of Israel, there's a section entitled The Vatican's Plans to Create a Second Holocaust. Can you give some background to that section in your book now?
All right. Interesting question.
One has to... Oh, boy, does this get complicated. When we talk about what's left of the Jews, in the last 100 years, we've lost 80% of our people to the Holocaust, assimilation, pogroms. Now here we are, another 6 million of us, sitting in a little piece of land and doing the same things we did. What was done to us in the 40s. We're putting up a wall. The wall is not to keep Arabs out, it's to keep us in. We're being good and corralled into smaller and smaller spaces. We're losing more and more of our authority. The pattern is exact. Nothing but nothing has changed. Now, everyone seems to believe that our leadership has their own best interests at heart. My main message is, you're wrong. Our leadership is our worst enemy. They don't have the interests of Jews at heart. They have the interests of a very different, very ugly global ideology at heart. And Israel means nothing to them. This business of globalism means everything to them. And they are going to destroy us. Okay? That's, I think, a summation of your question.
All right. Let's go now to Washington. We have joining us Angela. Angela, welcome to the show. What's your comment or question for Barry Hamish?
Hello, Tamar. I actually have a question. Is it true that President Sharon is going to the Vatican to see the Pope? Is that true?
Is that true, Barry?
Not just him. Mahmoud Abbas is on the way. They're both on the way. Look, remember something important. I'm going to put this in perspective. After Rabin was killed, the 30 days are over. The very first act of Leah Rabin was to fly to the Vatican. The very first act. And people should have paid a lot more attention to that. The significance of that. Why?
Wouldn't it be more subdued, or wouldn't it be more smart for the Vatican just to send a representative to here than to make a trip to Italy by the Prime Minister? That brings up a lot of attention there.
You know what? They have fooled the Jews for so long, and they believe the Jews will never wake up. And I'm afraid they may have a point.
All right, let's go now to California. We have Phil joining us. Phil, what's your comment or question for Barry Hamish?
Okay. I was just reading an article in which you said that Sharansky was a KGB agent. And when I hear stuff like that, I'm wondering, what makes you any better than people who think O.J. Simpson was framed or that Elvis is still alive? And with all the problems that Israel and nationalists have now, don't we have better things to do than to indulge in these fantasies?
Well, I wish it was a fantasy, but a gentleman named Dr. Yuli Noodleman wrote a book called Sharansky Unmasked, which he gathered the facts. I have documentation, and incidentally, I interviewed Ida Nudel and all kinds of Russians who were prisoners of Zion, and one after the other said the same thing, that Sharansky was nothing but a filthy little snitch that put him behind bars, that he was traded in a spy trade. It was nothing but a spy trade. He comes to Israel. Within a year, he's got $1.5 million dollar house. He has been hanging around with the mafia. He's been taking enormous sums from the Russian mafia. And it was Sharansky who signed the Y Accord. Leave us never forget that.
Who said this now about Sharansky?
Dr. Yuli Noodleman wrote a book. Try and find it. It's called Sharansky Unmasked. Sharansky sued him. The courts made him pay $250,000. Sharansky didn't bring one witness. I got news for you, fellas. No fantasy. And Sharansky has become the favorite of the Bushes and the neocons. And let me tell you something. Without Sharansky at Y, with Sharon and Netanyahu, it's very, very unlikely that we'd be in this mess right now. When you say fantasy, sir, do your own research.
All right, Phil, thanks for your call. I appreciate that. All right, looks like we don't have any more time for calls. We only have 2 minutes left of the show. Barry, is there anything that the people of Israel and people outside of Israel who are not interested in seeing the Vatican take over, who believe in the Bible, who believe that the land of Israel is for the Jewish people, do we have a chance to fight this? Can we? Are we powerful enough? Do we have any secret weapon?
It wouldn't hurt to wake up. Okay, now that last call, for instance, is probably the voice of Jewish America. That voice is going to destroy this country. What was fantastic in 1939 all came true, and what is fantastic in 1992 is now all coming true.
That voice out of America is the same voice that people in Israel think the same way. What can we do? Can we do anything? Can we beat this giant conglomerate globalism that's here to swallow us? Can we?
I'll tell you one thing. The Rabin assassination will bring down everybody. everybody. And now that the country has woken up to that in a huge way, I'll just keep pressing it.
All right, you know,
that's my strategy. It's the best I got.
We have exactly 40 seconds left to the show before the music comes on. What happened this last couple of weeks when Clinton was here and there was a 10-year anniversary of the death of Rabin? Everything was supposed to be broken then. Yes, a lot of people of Israel now think that you're right, but still nothing's being done. Is it worthwhile to be awake when you know that what's going to happen? I'd rather go back to sleep.
You know what? Isn't that amazing? I got so vindicated. I got so thoroughly vindicated.
10 seconds.
And yet, you're right. Where's the call for a reinvestigation? You're right. Where is it?
All right, Barry Chomich, thanks so much for being with us.
Oh, my pleasure. You're great as always.
All right.
Bye.
And thank you. www.barrychomich.com. Get his books, Who Murdered Yitzhak Rabin, The Last Days of Israel, Save Israel, his latest book, Shaftet Tzvi, Labor, Zionism, and the Holocaust. Well, the super weapon of the Jewish people is prayer, so let's pray that Jerusalem stays united under the Jewish leadership, where all three religions are able right now to pray freely, and it doesn't go to any other hands. Let's pray for the Messiah, the Mashiach. Thank you, everybody, for being with us.
Now you can dedicate your favorite show to your favorite people. Remember a loved one, congratulate somebody, or celebrate with anyone by dedicating a show on Israel National Radio. Your favorite show host will announce your dedication to all of our listeners worldwide. Just write to dedicate at IsraelNationalRadio.com and include your name and number. That's dedicate at Israel National Radio for your show dedication.
Israel Army Surplus and Gifts from the Holy Land. The largest selection of t-shirts, hooded and printed sweatshirts. The perfect gift for any supporter of Israel. Best quality, best service, and best prices. Go to www.pongo.co.il.
IsraelNationalRadio.com. Where English speakers feel at home.